Please turn on Mark 12, 28-34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer. He asked him, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as you, as yourself is more important than all burnt offering and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions.
Thanks, Jefflin. I, too, hope to make 3 points. Jefflin is the place kicker for the O'Connor Panthers, and he made a pretty important kick. Is anybody here from Brandeis this morning? Sorry. It's hard. But we're proud for everybody that does good things in school. And I got to tell you, I'm more proud that you will come here and read the Bible with us. So thanks for doing that. But I do hope to make 3 points this morning. I hope I don't miss. So the youth are away at a retreat this weekend, as you can see. See, he's a youth, and there's a bunch of them over there. And they're actually not away. They were supposed to be away at Camp Bandina, but there's a low water crossing, and the camp called us and said rain is supposed to be coming, and that low water crossing can be really bad. People have got stranded there before and stuck at the camp. And so Brandon called around and got some advice and made a difficult decision to move the retreat to our building. And I understand it was still pretty good. Is that right? Guess it was. It was a total disaster. But anyway, that's a hard decision. Brandon did a good job of doing his research and making a tough call. But one of the reasons I mentioned that is because your bulletin says they're all gone, and they're not. Another one is that he had told me that he really hoped, can you just click on the screen once too to make sure that it's operating? There you go. Okay, great. He was going to do this exercise. They were talking about following Jesus, and he was planning to blindfold one of the kids, throw him out in the hallway, and then bring them back in, and they had to make their way through an obstacle course. Because of the change, they didn't get to do this. But it wouldn't be that hard to make it through an obstacle course of tables and chairs, except four of their friends were going to be hollering at them, "Turn left, turn right, turn it, duck," you know, and give them all these different instructions and see if they can figure out who they ought to be listening to. And he was going to, well, he did. He talked about following Jesus. And when he told me he was going to do that, I thought, hey, I'm stealing that from my introduction. Because I think he was talking about secular voices trying to get us to go a certain direction. And that's certainly a concern for us. But even Christian voices, there's a lot of voices telling us what Christianity is all about. And even when you read the Bible, there's a lot of verses in here. And there's a bunch of good ones. They're all good ones. But there's a lot of them, and you can kind of get confused about what this thing is all about, which is why this passage that Jefflin read is such a great passage, because it tells us what really matters. Jesus is asked, what is the most important commandment? And his answer was, there is one. Now, that's not what he said. But when they asked the most important commandment, he didn't say, oh, I don't think I could single out anything as more important. You know, they're really all, he didn't say that. He answered the question. There is a commandment that is more important than all the others, and that is to love God with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength. That's the most important thing. And that's helpful. That's a good thing to know. And I think that's attractive to us, isn't it? Because when you do get confused after you've read, you know, chapter after chapter in the Bible, and you've listened to Christian radio, and you listen to a podcast, and you listen to a YouTube, and everybody's saying, here's what it means to be a Christian, you can get kind of confused. It's nice to have Jesus saying, this is the single most important thing, to love God. Most important commandment in the Bible. And I think we even like what that commandment is, to love God. If he had said the single most important thing is don't be selfish or give your money, we might have said, okay, I'll try to do that. But that wasn't it. It was love God. And that's an attractive thing to us. But the deal is, if there is one that is biggest and most important, that means there are some other things that are less important. Other commandments are less important. They're not unimportant, but they are less important. And I don't want to push on this too hard because this isn't the way Jesus talked about it, but I think it is an inevitable implication. If there's something that is most important, everything else has to be less important. And that may not bother you too much, but when I start giving specifics, it might start to bother you. Knowing that there's one that is the most important is attractive to us, but let me tell you, I could list some commandments that are less important that would make you squirm. But since I'm such a nice Christian man, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to just tell you one that will only make some of us squirm. I've chosen one that's right here in the Bible. The teacher of the law said, oh yeah, loving God and loving your neighbor, those are the most important, and they are more important than all burnt offering and sacrifice. So burnt offering and sacrifice are less important than loving God and loving your neighbor. Now that probably didn't make anybody squirm because we're not so much into the burnt offering and sacrifice thing. But remember when this happened, that was at the heart of the way they were supposed to worship. And so if you carry that over and apply it to us, it'd be kind of like saying loving God is more important than worship. Loving God is more important than going to church. Or to state it in the form of the commandment, loving God is more important than do not forsake the assembly. Now I'm guessing when I say that, some of you are still all right. In fact, you may be more than all right. You may be saying, yes, it is more important than that. And then others of us are starting to get a little bit uncomfortable. And somebody wants to pipe up and say, well, if you love God, won't you offer the sacrifices too? If you love God, won't you come to church too? In fact, if you love God, doesn't that include all the other commandments? And you know, I think it does. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And Paul said, love is the essence. Love encompasses the whole law. And so, yeah, I think that's true. That's a good point. But I don't think that's the point in Mark 12. And the reason I say that is because Jesus says, here's the most important commandment. Here's the second most important commandment. The teacher of the law says, yeah, and those are more important than burnt offerings and sacrifices. And Jesus does not respond to him the way I would have responded to him. Jesus does not respond with, yeah, but if you love God, you'll offer the sacrifices too. I can hear myself saying that. And there's a sense in which that's true, but that's not how he responded here. The way Jesus responded here is, Mark says he saw that he answered him wisely, and then Jesus said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. He just affirmed him. He didn't say, well, if you do that one, you'll do all the other ones as well. And so what I'm thinking is, it's time for our mid-sermon quiz. Now, don't get your hopes up. We're not quite halfway through yet. But close enough that I'm going to say it's the mid-sermon quiz. There's two questions. You can punch in your answers on your phone. Question number one, can you say this, that loving God is the most important commandment without adding a disclaimer? Can you say the most important commandment is loving God and put a period there? Or do you have to say, but of course, if you do love God, you'll also show up for church, enlist all these other things? Can you say it without a disclaimer, or does that make you too uncomfortable? And what I'm thinking is, if we have to make the disclaimer, that ends up pretty much with all the commandments being equal again. Because you're going to tell the most important one, but you're going to tell all the other ones as well. Now, again, I think that's true. And if you, I know what you're really thinking, what about my friend over here? But it's really you. You know, if you're going to use that to try to get out of doing one of the other commandments, if you're going to use the greatest commandment as a loophole so you don't have to do some other commandment, then yeah, you probably do need the disclaimer. You need to be reminded, well, you know, Marvin, really, if you love God, you'll respect other people as well. We probably do need that. But other than that, I think it's okay to just say it without the disclaimer. And if you can say that, I think that means maybe you're giving it the importance that Jesus does in this passage. Second thing on the quiz is totally different, and that is, have you prayed about your love for God this week? And the reason that is a legit test question is that we pray about what's most important to us, don't we? Don't we pray about what really matters to us? There's some things in my life and some things in the church that I am really concerned about, so I'm praying about them a lot. They matter to me a lot, and so I pray about them. And I think you can tell what really matters by what we pray about. And I'm tempted to think, for some of us, our little toe matters a lot. Because if my toe is hurting, I'm going to pray about my toe. And I'm sorry if your toe hurts. But couldn't we pray about the loving God? And I got to tell you, I'm very pleased to announce that I've been praying about my love for God ever since I started working on today's sermon about 5 days ago. I wish I could say that I'd been praying about it a lot longer. So maybe those are some tests that will help us see whether we really believe that loving God and loving our neighbor are the most important commandments. Now, Jesus, as you know, adds a second thing. If you're tracking with a field goal outline, this is the second of my 3 points. The most important commandment is to love God, but there is a second, and that is to love our neighbor as ourself. Jesus was asked for one, but he gave two. They're inseparable. If you're going to gather at the cross and express devotion to God, you have to hold hands with the other people gathered there. You've got to love the people as well as loving God. John states this very powerfully. He says, if you don't love your brother whom you have seen, How can you love God whom you haven't seen? And he even says, if you claim to love God, but you don't love your brother, you're a liar. You're a liar. So I'm thinking, if we claim to love God, but we avoid annoying people, we're liars. I'm thinking, if we come to church because we want to find God, but we don't jump into the church because there's people there, we're liars. I'm thinking, if you go to R&B group and small group, only if all the people are cool like you are, but otherwise you don't go, that you're a liar. And if you don't like that, go talk to the person who said it. Not me. Go talk to John. John makes that powerfully clear. Now, I get it. Maybe you don't know this, but I get it. If you don't know this, you might want to jot this down. God is cooler than people. Okay? I get it. People are hard to love sometimes. That's why we came up with this little expression, EGR. You know what EGR is? Extra grace required. I think I'm going to give a couple of disclaimers on this one, but I think it's okay to say that if that helps you remember how you're supposed to treat the person. And that maybe there are some reasons for that. And if you remember that you are someone else's EGR. Okay? Now, this is amazing to me. I found this out not really all that long ago. I found out that some of the things that I think make me cool are the very things that make me EGR to someone else. Okay? I think it's a fantastic quality that I like to be on time. My wife, not so much. That's what makes me EGR to her. I thought that was a great quality. Not everybody thinks that. We've all got these different things that we think are cool about ourselves, but they make us EGR to other people. So if EGR helps you, and if you remember you're somebody else's EGR, then I think that's a good thing. Extra grace required. But you know, there's other kinds of people too. Maybe you didn't know this. There's also rude people. You don't know whether to say amen or not. I know you want to say amen, so let's just go on and say it. Amen. But there's more to that than just that. Some people are rude because they're reeling under damaging experiences. And it's really hard to see that when they're being rude to you. But some people act out because of what's going on inside of them. Some people are fatties. How many of you are sitting? No. That is fewer advantages than you. Some people have a fatty attitude, and it's hard to see past that. But if we're judging them for a fatty attitude and they've had fewer advantages than us, we really have the wrong attitude. And in fact, they may be doing better for their lack of advantages than you are and I am in light of our advantages. Some people are pigs. Don't y'all want to say amen? I'd be saying amen if I was up there. Yeah, some people are pigs. That is, people in great distress. And if you can somehow see that, when they're acting like a pig, it'll help you love them. Some people are in a huff. That is, having unusually flawed family. Okay, be careful when you say amen. But my goodness, your family can have such a powerful influence on you for good or for bad. And it can kind of put you in a huff. Some people are hoity-toity. That is, hurting on the inside. Hurting on the inside. It's hard to see that. It's hard to get around the hoity, much less the toity. And, you know, they're acting these terrible ways, but it's because they're hurting on the inside. Some people are morons. Yeah. That is, mistreated or rejected on numerous occasions. It causes you to act out in moronesque ways. Tell them that next time you see them. Some people are ETC. You know what that is? That's etc. There's a whole lot of others. But it also stands for even though Christian. You can be a Christian, and we'll just say we. We can be Christians and be rude, fatty pigs in a huff and hoity-toity, and even morons. If we've never matured, if we've never had time to mature, or if no one has ever shown us how to live by the Spirit, let the Spirit change our thinking and how to have the mind of Christ, we can still be all these things. And what I'm thinking is that if we recognize that, it may help us to love people, especially if we are willing to include ourselves in that as well. And then the third thing is, you don't please Jesus by knowing the two greatest commandments. You please Jesus when you actually do the two greatest commandments. When you actually love Him and love your neighbor as yourself, love other people. For so many years, and I don't know how many, and I'm glad, or I would have to tell you, for so many years I thought I was so mature because I knew that some commandments were more important than others. And I could list them, both of them, in order. I could do all of that. And I thought I was so mature because I knew that. But that's not what makes you mature. That's not what makes you please Jesus. We please Jesus when we actually do what He says. When we actually love Him and love other people. And then the love is genuine. And it's not just knowledge that we're supposed to love, but it's actual love. So how do we love God? I mentioned some ways of learning to love people. How do we learn to love God? Well, let me talk about that in a minute. Me and about three other Christians on the whole planet believe Christian love is an emotion. There's about three or four of us that believe that. Most of us believe it's an action, but that's because y'all are confused. So let me just explain this. No, really, I think we do get this confused sometimes. I mentioned a while ago, Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We read that sometimes as if he said, if you keep my commandments, you love me. That's not what he said. You can work really hard and even make some progress on doing the things he said, but not love him in the least. Paul said that. Paul said, if I do all these fantastic things but have not love, it profits nothing. The love and the actions are two different things. What Jesus said is, if you do, in fact, love me, then you will keep my commandments. And we need to be reminded of the commandments, but we need to begin with the love. And if we have the love, and if we listen to His teaching, it will lead us to do His commandments. And if that's not working out somehow, I don't think you start with the commandments, you start with the love. So how do you grow in love for Jesus and for God? I'm going to give you five things, but I want to give you a little warning before I give you this. This list will not help you unless you do something that's on the list. We are American Christians, and we think we're good Christians if we have a list. Are you a Christian? Of course I'm a Christian. Look, I've got a list. I've got several lists that I store them in my Bible. Every time Marvin gives a sermon, I get a list. And we think we're good, mature Christians because the list doesn't help unless you actually do something on the list and do it for a while. But if you will, I think this will help. So here they are. One, meditate on his good characteristics. Did you know in Mark 12, the first thing Jesus says is not love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. The first thing he said is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The commandment to love is based on knowing something about the one we're supposed to love. Knowing that he's one. Knowing that he is utterly unique, that there's no one like him. And so you don't start with the commandment, you start with the qualities that the commandment is based on. Know that God is good. Know that God is compassionate. Know that God is faithful. Know that God is righteous. Know that God is wise. And think about that. If you dwell on the negative qualities of your girlfriend or your boyfriend or your spouse or your roommate or your friends, you'll hate them. We've all got bad qualities. But if you focus on their good qualities, you'll love them because we've all got good qualities. Now, God doesn't have any bad qualities, but he may have some you don't understand or some that puzzle you or even bother you. But if you focus on his good qualities, it'll grow love in your heart for him. I think that's an excellent thing to do. And especially meditate on his love. We love because he first loved us. If we want to love, maybe we should focus on his love for us. I think that would be an excellent thing to do. Participate in an interactive relationship with him. My passage on this is the book of Hosea. Hosea compares God's love for his people and the people's love for him to the relationship between a man and a woman. And if you are in a relationship like that, it's an interactive relationship. You talk, you listen, you share your thoughts, you think about each other, you spend time together. If you apply that to God, it'll help grow love with God. Four, pray that God would help you grasp his love. Tying back to number two, pray that God will help you grasp his love. How long and wide and high and deep his love is, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And five, cooperate with the Spirit's desire to produce love in our hearts. Love is a fruit of the Spirit. If the Spirit puts a desire in your heart to show love to someone, do it. Be a good steward of that desire, and he will give you more of that desire. And next thing you know, your heart will be full of love for people. So again, that's worthless. Might as well throw it away unless you're going to pick one and do something with that. So I hope there's something there that will help us. We're trying to follow Jesus. We're trying to love like Jesus. We're trying to be a church of Christ. And I hope there's something there that helps us be like Christ. Want to end with one last thing, and that is in 34, when Jesus saw that that teacher had answered wisely, he said, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." I need to be reminded, hopefully less, but still need to be reminded, that we do not come under the rule of God by having a spiritual outlook on things. We do not enter the kingdom of God by having a good grasp of the scripture. We do not enter the kingdom of God by being wise about the big picture of things. We enter the kingdom of God by humbling ourselves and becoming like a child, repenting of our sins, putting our faith in Jesus, being born of water and the Spirit. In other words, you don't just kind of sort of become a follower of Jesus. At some point, you got to make a decision about that. And I just wanted to remind you, if you have not entered his kingdom, you've got a decision to make about Jesus. And if you want to talk to somebody about that, we'd love to talk to you. If you got something else going on in your life, or if there's something about this that you need help with, we'll have some of our shepherds and their wives at the back right now while we stand and sing.